We have a different kind of message today. Most of my messages are, and I teach more than preach, actually. That's why some of, and I always, I've been asked, well, you know, you look at your watch all the time, and I really do try to be aware of the time. And because I teach messages more than, that's just my gifting, more than preaching them, they go longer. And I'm trying to watch that because I don't want to wear you out every Sunday. That there just seems like there's just so much to be taught and things to understand. And I get to see you to do this once a week, and it's hard to get it all in. And so, but I'm trying to make that balance and do it all as best as I possibly can. And most of my messages are what's called, or teachings, are exegetical. And an exegesis means you're taking a passage and you're going word by word or verse by verse. And that's an exegetical. There's basically just two types of messages. Today, I guess there's three. And there used to be just two in the old days. But exegetical means you're explaining Scripture word for word, verse for verse. And then there's topical, where you have a subject and you have different Scriptures relating to that subject. And that's called a topical message, where you have a topic and then you have the supporting text to come in. A lot of pastors, a lot of guys on TV, they do topical messages instead of exegetical message. And because I teach, I tend to do the other. But today is a topical message. We have three different people we're going to look at, three different situations, because we're looking at the title of the message is The True Difference. And we're going to look at the true difference. The difference, what's the difference between extraordinary people and everybody else? What makes people stand out? Are they somebody that God's just said, well, you're better than everybody else, I'm going to gift you better than everybody else? And or is it something else that causes us to stand out and be different? We're all supposed to be different. Too many Christians think that being different, it means being wacky and goofy and acting idiotic. I've seen some Christians do some really, you have to, dumb things. And that's not the standout God wants us to have. He wants us to be wise and discerning and so forth. But today we're going to look at character, true character, and we're going to look at true faith and true honor. And God wants you to have that in your heart, all of us. And he wants us to be people of true character and true faith, or faithfulness and true honor. And we'll have to look at some different episodes, different people and the events in their lives to do that. So let's first of all look at over in 2 Samuel. And we begin in chapter 16. And we're going to look at an episode in David's life that was just one of those incidents that's not as remarkable, and yet it should be remarked upon. Because it shows, you know, we look at David and Saul is after him and trying to kill him, and he's going through a hard time in his life, or that's happened in his life back when he started. And now his son Absalom is out to get him, and so he's running again, trying not to kill his son or be killed by his son, either way. And he comes down the road and we come to this part. And I want to speak with you about it because it's a tough text. And yet, it's the building and it shows true character, and it's what we have to have. Now, watch this. Now, this is King James, new King James. Now, when King David came into Bar-Hiram, you ever been to Bar-Hiram? Okay. There was a man from the family of the house of Saul. That ought to tip you off right there. If this guy was from the house of Saul, he's not going to be favorable towards David. So, you know, you're going to have your enemies, friends, whether you like them or not. And there's no way to stop it. There's just going to be some people who will not like you. This man was of the house of Saul, and David and Saul, and, you know, they'd had their issues. And Saul hated David. And so this guy, he's of the family blood feud. That's what this is. His name was Shimei, and you know, and he's the son of Gera. Coming, you know those people, right? And so he came out cussing. He was cursing. Now, not cussing, but cursing continuously as he came. He threw stones at David. Now here's the king of Israel. And he's throwing stones at David and all the servants of King David. You know, there's sometimes just being stupid is, I mean, you don't want to be stupid. You're throwing stones at the king and his servants? Is that smart? It's a lucky to live. But watch this. He threw stones, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So there's David with all these mighty men, and here's this guy throwing rocks at him and cursing. Pronouncing curses is what he was doing. He threw stones, and all the people and all the men were there. And Shimei said when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. Wow, okay. The Lord has brought upon you the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you're caught in your own evil because you're a bloodthirsty man. Whoa. That's getting down there, isn't it? And then there's more. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please, let me go over and take off his head. Now, I want to tell you something. How many of you, honest to God, in that environment would have been tempted to say, go ahead? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Wouldn't you? Me too. It's like, and how many of you right now in this environment, if you could, would do it with somebody like this cussing you out, pronouncing that kind of, that's right. Now look at this. And he said, but the king, David, he said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? That sounds rude, but that's how it's translated. But what he was saying was, what if I have to do to listen to what your advice here? And he goes on, he's trying to say, who am I to try to listen to your advice? I've got to listen what God's telling me. And this is what he says. He says, what have I to do with you? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? Has this ever hit you? You start letting the Spirit speak to you on this. Let the Spirit speak to you. He said, the Lord has said to him, curse David. Now be careful with this. I'll get to it in a minute. And he said, so who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all of his servants, see how my son who came from my own body seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse. For so the Lord has ordered him, that it may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. Do you see this? He's saying, in the Hebrew, you got to be careful when you're in translations, and it's hard, and I'm not the expert. I don't think anybody really is from this the old text and the old language, but he was saying this. God has allowed this man not to cuss me out, but to pronounce curses, so don't get this mixed up. When we hear cursing, we think, calling the every blasphemous name in the book. The man was pronouncing curses upon him, and he was cursing David in that tone. It's not like he was calling him the names we call people. It's like he was saying, you know, you should be in hell, you deserve to die, you're bloodthirsty. Those kind of curses. And David said, God's allowed him to do it. Man, I'm not going to cut his head off for him doing what God's allowed him to do. Now, does this strike you in any way? It's like, this is character. This is character. When he looked at it and said, this guy wouldn't be saying this if God hadn't allowed him to do it. Now listen, there's more to this. First, let me give you a definition of character. I thought, I'm going to turn this time to the Webster's Dictionary and see what it says, character. You know, and I know what I believe character is. But here's what it said, and it's pretty much actually in line with what you would find this word in the scripture. It's moral, ethical strength, integrity, fortitude. All those words. Or you can look it up yourself. And that's character. It's having moral, ethical strength, integrity, and fortitude. That's character. There's not many people with that these days that have that moral and ethical strength, and then they have integrity and they've got fortitude. But David showed it. Now there's something going on here, and I need to help us understand. David's son Absalom was out to kill him. Absalom was rebelling against his own dad. So if any of you have ever had children, grandchildren, whatever, and they've rebelled against his parents, you're not alone. Here's the king of Israel that's been through hell already to get where he was at. Saul tried to kill him, and now his own son is out to get him. His own son has formed an army. That when you look back in there, chapters before this, and read this story, read it over, study it a little bit. Absalom sat in the city gates, and people would be coming to seek the king's advice, and he'd say, well, the king's too busy. He just doesn't have time for you. You read this, that's what he said. But I'll talk to you. Tell me your troubles. And he'd sit with the people and he'd listen to their problems. And it says eventually he turned the heart of Israel against David to himself. What a jerk. There's people doing that today. Oh, he's too busy. He didn't have time for you. Talk to me. I'll fix your problems. I'm the good guy here. And he did it to win their support so he could overthrow his dad, David, and take the throne. So now he goes after his dad, and David's on the run. Because David doesn't want to stop and fight his own son, would you? Bad news here. Now what's behind this whole stinking thing, and it stinks to high heaven? Do you know? Here it is. David had committed murder by having Bathsheba's husband murdered in the front lines. Remember that? The Hittite. And he sent him to the front lines because David saw Bathsheba bathing on a rooftop. Don't ask me. We won't go there too much. Ladies, don't bathe on rooftops. But he saw her, and he wanted her, and he called for her. And she's a beautiful woman, and she comes in, and it happens. And then she comes to him later and says, David, guess what? We have a problem. So he's trying, Uriah, you know, is her husband. So he's trying to figure out, I've got to get Uriah back here. I've got to make it look like it's his baby. So he calls Uriah back from the battlefield and says, I'm giving you some leave and go on and be with your wife and have fun and enjoy some romance. And then I'll send you back later. And the man was so loyal, he said, no, my men are out there fighting and I have no right to be back here enjoying the pleasures of marriage when all the rest of them are dying out there in the battlefield. And he was more loyal at that point than David was. And David couldn't get him to go in and be with his wife. So he couldn't fool the man into thinking that she was going to have a baby with him. And it was David's baby. And the whole thing is an intricate, messed up bunch of lies and deceit and sin. And the man was so loyal he wouldn't do it. So David calls in his commander and says, you put that guy in the front line, and when you make the assault, pull back from him. Anybody that's ever been in the military, I mean, you know, that's why, it's why you're always a little reluctant to be the first platoon in. Because, you know, if they all run and you're committed, you're in trouble. So Uriah gets sent to the front line, and but how sorry is this? I mean, let's be honest, this is a rotten picture here. It's a sorry deed. And so naturally they pull back and Uriah is killed. Then David takes Bathsheba. This is what's behind this. And part of the curse that Nathan the prophet told David was going to happen. He said, the baby that's going to be born to you guys from this will die. And you will have rebellion in your house from now on. You'll never know peace. And you're going to have a son. And this is going, in other words, this is going to come back on your head, David. Note, God, David confessed his sin when Nathan confronted him with it, and David said, I have sinned, and God forgive me. And Nathan said, God does forgive you, David, but if any of you ever wonder why some things might not be exactly right, there's just some things, not everything, some things that we do, God forgives us for. But it snaps at us for a long, long time before it goes away. And here's David, the man after God's own heart, but he did a very vile thing, murders a man after he commits fornication, adultery with this woman. But the worst part was the murder, killing a man to cover up a sin. Friends, listen, don't kill somebody with your mouth to cover up your sin. We don't exactly go leave them out there at the siege wall in the middle of a battle and pull back on them. But how many people have we slaughtered with our mouth, and we've killed a mini Uriah the Hittite to cover up our own thing? Anytime you attack somebody else for their sins to cover up your own, you're doing the same dadgum thing. It convicts us all. And you've been attacked by people and accused you of things, and when they themselves were more guilty than anybody else, that's how people cover their sins. And so this is what's the problem here. And David looks at this situation, and as a man of character, even though he sinned, you see, when you have character, it doesn't make you sinless. Listen to this. You will never be sinless as long as you're in this body. You can have the highest moral, ethical, character, integrity of anyone on earth, but you will still have your weak moments. We just will, and I hate them, don't you? I hate it when I get depressed or when I'm upset. When I just start feeling critical or feeling like there's no hope. You say, you, Pastor, you think there's, you ever feel like there's no hope? Yeah. Sometimes I think, is there any hope for this country? And I'm going to tell you a little thing we were talking about just a little while ago. Don't start thinking about the end of your life. I used to never think about it. I think a lot about it now. And you know what? In some ways, with that, it's like, well, there's no hope. I mean, yeah, you're going to heaven, but you're not going to get away from it. I don't want to think about that. The older you get, the more you do. The more stuff happens to you, the more you think about it. And so here's a man, after God's own heart, the man, and he's got high character, true character, but he had his moment. I've heard people run David down and say, David is just not a man. I can't follow David. I can't read David. I've heard a number of people say that, not just here, anywhere, out and about. And it's like, why does he remind you too much of yourself? Is there anybody in here that hasn't lusted? Is there anybody here that see a naked woman on a rooftop out there and you can tell me, oh, I'd see her over there and go, nah, I'm going to walk off. You'd break your binoculars. fall over yourself trying to find some way to take a good look. And ladies, has there never been any guy out there that you didn't look twice at? Or they smell good? You know, there are just certain people you get around, and I don't know what it is about them, but we just have to fight those impulses, don't we? It's like, whoa. You ever wondered that? They won't be the nicest looking people in the world or anything else, but there's certain people you can get around, and it's like, I got to run. They're just, this is like one of those zingers that y'all give me once in a while. They're a zinger. So it happens, and it happened to David. And then this guy's cursing him, pronouncing curses. Do you see now what David said, what he said? Let me ask you something. Could it be that God allows some people sometimes to give you a hard time, pronounce curses, so to say, really give it to you, to remind you and keep you humble that you yourself have given it to God the same way? That's what he was saying. He was saying, I deserve every lick of this. I deserve it. And why should I have that man killed for only speaking what is a whole lot of the truth? I am a bloodthirsty man because I killed a man, had him murdered, and that's bloodthirsty. Don't you see it? Maybe when people really get after us, it's not all true, but there's enough truth in it for us to show some character and say, nah, I'm not going to take off his head because God allowed him to do it to remind me, to keep me from ever going and doing the things I've done in my life again. It's powerful stuff, right? And he showed the character of a man who'd been transformed by it, who'd repented from his sin. He showed the quality of godly character. He was living up to his calling and his position. I'll show you something else he did. He refused to stoop to pettiness. I'm not going to be petty and return to this guy. I'm not going to let what he's given to me, because in some ways, I deserve it. He realized there was some truth in what the guy was saying. He refused to be offended, and he refused to stoop to the level of his enemies. I put a note here, just wanted to share with you, and then we'll jump on. We gotta go. Gotta move. A person with character does not need to blame. They don't blame. They don't make excuses for their sins and their faults. You know what a person with true character does? They do what David did, and they said, perhaps God has let this man, or even told this man to do this, to keep me humble, to remind me. A person of character never covers their sins, but is willing to admit and confess that they're a sinner saved by grace, and they don't blame anybody for it but themselves. This is a powerful study on true character. It really is. And what we really, all of us, can be. This is not too much for any person in this room. We've just got to get honest with God and ourselves. And when things happen, instead of that ego and pride coming up there, let it just be a reminder like it was to David. This is to keep me from going back and doing that again. All of us have sinned. And there's an element of truth most times when somebody gets after us. And who are we to lop off their head? And then let's look at true faith. Just true faith or true faithfulness is our next step. This short one here. Peter and the apostles preaching Jesus, and the Jews. We're all so familiar with this text. So that's why I chose not to spend a lot of time, but to bring it out to show what true faith is, or true obedience. They were told, stop it. We won't beat you. We won't hurt you. We won't threaten you. All you've got to do is stop taking this man Jesus so serious, and don't mention his name, because it's causing a crowd and a rabble and dissension here amongst the Jews. So just don't talk about it. And in other words, you leave that alone, we'll leave you alone. And Peter and the apostles said we ought to obey God rather than man. And they signed their warrant, their torture warrant, their death warrant, their punishment warrant. We ought to obey God rather than men. And what were they saying? We're going to be faithful to God even if you beat us to death. True faith. True faith. They showed it right there and they lived it. They were given a choice. Listen, there's no more difficult trial or test than when somebody says, if you'll just back off, we will back off. If you'll do this, we will give this. And for you to have to say, out of faithfulness, out of faith in God, out of obeying God, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were saying we choose to obey God rather than people because it's the right thing to do. It's the thing of faith. We choose to risk personal harm rather than disobey God. We trust the God of righteousness to defend us that he has made righteous. Do you? Do you trust the God of righteousness to defend you whom he's made righteous? They were standing tall, and guess what? God made them taller. There's no more powerful person in the world than the one who stands alone in the power of God to do what's right. And then we close with this one. True honor. You know what the word honor means? I'll give you this definition. Special esteem. Special esteem, respect, reverence. Giving glory and recognition. So when you say that's a person of honor, that's a person that gives special esteem to God. They respect God. They reverence God. And they give God glory and recognition. A person with honor. So here we are in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to some guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I remember some years ago, I don't know, some smart aleck in class said, oh, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Don't apply that theologically too much, but it was funny then. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke to him, and there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I've set up? Now, if you are really ready at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre, and he said, all the music, in symphony with all kinds of music, you'll fall down and worship the image. He said, when you hear this, if you'll fall down and do that, good. Good. See, here it is. Here it is. Here's the out. Easy out. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? For one thing, I'd want to think, why, you arrogant? But on another, be honest. It's one thing to read this stuff. What if you were there? Would it scare the living daylights out of you? I don't want to die. You want to die? And the man's giving you a way out. And he's saying, you're not going to just die. I'm going to make you die in a bad way. I'll throw you in a furnace. A fire. And you won't live long, but while you do, you're going to feel your flesh burning away. You're going to scream in agony in there. So boys, How about it? You're going to fall down to worship me and my gods? Now I'm going to tell you something. Here it is. This very day, we're being presented with that all over this country as Christians. There are those saying, you're going to fall down and worship communism, socialism? You're going to worship woke? Diversity, you know, and inclusion, all this. Are you going to worship all the other? Are you going to accept this? Are you going to worship it? Are you going to worship a political party? All you've got to do is accept this into your company, into your life, and hey, we'll lay off of you. But if you don't, we're coming after you. That's where it is, right at our doorstep, isn't it? Church is just yielding and becoming woke. And God is saying, what are you going to do? You're going to be a person of character, true faith, and honor me, you know, and obey me? Are you going to be a person of honor? Are you going to yield to this? You're going to give in? You're going to accept the world's standards or mine? And if you don't, you're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. What would that be for you and me today? Criticism? Slander, abuse. What else? Ridicule. But the boys, God's boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to even answer you in this matter. Look at that. They said, we don't even need to respond. You know what they were saying? Because you know us. And you know better than this. And you know we're not going to bend the knee to any man or any man-made image. We're not going to be woke here today. And we're not going to accept the world standards and what it says is the way to be today. And we're not going to do it. You know better than that, O king. And so here it is. And if it is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. What a gutsy thing to say. And I'm going to say to you, stand firm in true character. And true faithfulness. And true honor. Because your God will deliver you. Even if you feel the heat of the furnace and you're thrown in it, God is telling you, I'm still with you. And I will not abandon my people. What happened? Did you drop your paper? Was this of me? Is that? I hope that's not me. Square guy with two eyeballs. There we go. What about it, friends? You believe your God is able to deliver you, even if you're put in the fire? That's what it comes down to. Where is this honor? He says, God will deliver us from your hand, O king. But look what they said. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you've set up. You can read the rest of the story. Because you know they were thrown in there. And the king said, well, who's that other guy? There's a fourth person in there. And the angel of the Lord, you can call it Jesus if you want to, angel of God, was in there in the fiery furnace. Let me tell you something. If you're willing to go this far with God, God will go that far with you. And the angel of the Lord's going to walk around there in that fire with you, whatever that fire is for you today. Don't you fear. God will be there. Where you are, God is. And if it matters to you, it matters to God. And if you're in the fire, God's in the fire. If you're in the flood, God's in the flood. No matter where it is, God's there. And they saw him walking around in there. And they came out, and it says not a hair, and even their clothes weren't singed, not a hair. Not a hair was singed. What does it take to singe a hair? Just get close to the burner. Nothing. Why? Because these were people of godly, true character, true faith, true honor. And learn from these people. Learn what it's about. So the next time somebody gives it to you, don't give it back. Just say, you know what? God's allowed this from the sins in my life. Who am I to cut their head off? And they tell me not to talk about Jesus, I'm going to talk more. Hallelujah. And when they tell me bow down to the gods of secularism, the gods of Antichrist, the gods of the communists and the socialists and the woke and all that, I will not. I have never bowed. I'm not bowing today, and I won't bow in the future. And if it's the fiery furnace, then open it up. Here it comes. Because before I even walk in there, God is there. Amen. And I'm tired out. Let's pray. Thank you. God, thank you. You're a great, fantastic God, and you've given us people to help us learn. And thank you for David. And thank you for the Peter and the apostles. And thank you for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that gave us, and Daniel and all of them that gave us these examples. It's not just a story, it's the way to be. And help us learn from it. And help us to go out of here and keep our heads up and to walk tall and be humble before you at the same time. And we pray for your courage and boldness and your power and your wisdom and the filling of the Holy Spirit and overflowing as rivers of living water, that we bear the fruit of the Spirit, that we be pleasing unto you. Give us all courage and all humility. Give us all wisdom and all discerning spirit. Give us the knowledge and understanding of your word that we can live it and apply it and help others to understand it, so that Jesus Christ is lifted up as Lord of lords and King of kings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.